Hey, how are you guys doing? Welcome to the show, Bitcoin Podcast Show. My next special guest is, after a long time, I haven't talked to him for a long time, is Phil Geiger of Unchained Capital, Director of Product Marketing. And, you know, there's a handful of companies who are really doing the best, whatever it takes to simplify, facilitate the process of onboarding, adoption, you know, Bitcoin adoption, Bitcoin storage. And one of them is Unchained Capital, and I'm a huge fan of them. You know, you can use it as a, you know, as an individual, use it freely. You can open up a multi-sig vault, a multi-signature vault, and distribute your keys. And also, you know, also important for not only for security, but inheritance plans, you know. So yeah, we're gonna go really deep down the rabbit hole. Let me explain, you know, how it works, the procedure and the operation, and, you know, the advantages, the benefits of using a multi-sig vault. And it's really slick. I've tested it, I've used it myself, and it's pretty self-explanatory. I think pretty much anybody, whatever age, could, you know, learn that, educate themselves about, and start using it. So yeah, without further ado, this is my talk with Phil Geiger of Unchained Capital. And let me know if you have any questions. Yeah, and follow me on Twitter, YouTube, podcast platforms, and my DMs or email are open to you anytime. All right. Welcome to the Total Bitcoin Podcast Show. My special guest again is Phil Geiger. We haven't seen each other for a long time. Phil, how are you doing?
Doing really well. Thanks so much for having me back on the show, Kayvon. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, really looking forward to a talk. A bunch of things, bunch of layers of about Bitcoin to talk about. So Phil, you're the, if I get it correctly, you're the director of product marketing, right, at Unchained Capital?
Yep.
And could you just, you know, maybe for my new listeners and or viewers, give a little bit of background, like how'd you get to Bitcoin and you know, your path to Unchained Capital, and what's the bigger, you know, picture or ethos for Bitcoin from your perspective?
Of course. So I discovered Bitcoin near the end of 2014. I was at a bar attending a like some live presentations, sort of like an informal TED talk, and a woman went up on stage and gave a, you know, 15-minute presentation on the history of money. And I had heard of Bitcoin before that, of course, but I had, you know, sort of ignored it. I thought it was, you know, World of Warcraft gold or just some sort of, you know, novelty. But the presentation she gave was really excellent, and it contained enough of the history of money and, you know, the evolution of currency, where I had enough of the pieces where Bitcoin just sort of clicked for me after that. And I think I was a little lucky because I studied economics for my undergraduate degree, although it was a Keynesian economics education. So I left university very confused about the state of the world. But, you know, as I was trained in economics, I do feel like I had a little bit of understanding of sound principles. And then when I ran into Bitcoin, fell down the sort of the Austrian economics side of econ, and that's when I really discovered that, you know, economics is much more applicable to real life if you start from sound assumptions and logically deduce outcomes from that. So anyways, long story short, you know, I was in economics. I then transitioned into software implementation. So I had kind of the technical and the economics background. When I ran into Bitcoin at that presentation, everything sort of clicked, fell down the rabbit hole, and then was just kind of researching and writing articles on my own. But when 2017 rolled around, I thought, all right, I have to leave my fiat career behind and go full-time in Bitcoin. So left my fiat career, which I was doing software implementation, as I mentioned, for about 7 years, and went full-time in Bitcoin, and luckily met up with the Unchained Capital team about a year ago, so in May of 2019, And ever since then, I've been helping to grow the company as the director of product marketing. And what I like about Unchained, and what I was really looking for when I went into Bitcoin full time, was a company that was aligned with the principles of Bitcoin. Because I naturally was marketing and shilling Bitcoin to all of my friends and families, family members. And now I work for Unchained Capital, which does Bitcoin native financial services that require private keys. So I'm kind of aligned long term for Bitcoin, I think, while working here. I get to educate people about Bitcoin, educate people about private key ownership, and then once your Bitcoin, if you'd like to secure your Bitcoin for the long run, you can set up a multi-signature vault with Unchained Capital. You can use Caravan, our open source multi-sig tool. And if you need any US dollar liquidity, of course, you can take out a loan on your Bitcoin. Oh, so beautiful. it's sort of the perfect alignment for me.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of your work and of your, let's say, dream team, because you're also Parker Lewis. Did you also like present something at the Valley of Bitcoin conference, or was it just Parker Lewis, your colleague?
Parker and Joe Kelly, our CEO, presented at Value of Bitcoin. So Parker did a couple presentations. He did Bitcoin is Anti-Fragile, as well as The End of the Beginning, which is the history of the Federal Reserve and their action during the last financial crisis, as well as their actions during this financial crisis. We actually have a YouTube video of The End of the Beginning recorded. If you would like to see it, you can maybe share it in your show notes or something. Yeah. And then Joe gave a presentation more about Unchained Capital. So talking about what Bitcoin native financial services means, talking about how we believe that you don't even own Bitcoin until you hold private keys. And we kind of make the assumption that once you get to the point where you're holding your own private keys, you really understand that power, and you're less likely or very unlikely to give up control of your private keys. So we still think that we can offer financial services, but in a way where clients get to hold private keys and the private keys are distributed, so that for your financial services, your Bitcoin isn't at custody risk. I mean, there's still some legal agreements that we have to sign, of course, but Unchained Capital has engineered ourselves out of the equation for custody risk. We physically can't lose your Bitcoin because keys are distributed.
Could you still walk through, like, I'm going to say it like right at the beginning now, it's really easy. I mean, even let's say for a fresh noob, it's, I would say, relatively, I mean, still you have to educate yourself about, those tools. But this is why, you made those videos, instructional videos, tutorials. And also, I think by Bitcoin Magazine also did some instructional videos, and you did some videos, together with who was it? Together with some podcaster, I think.
Guy Swan and Daniel Swan. Prince. Yep.
Yeah. So it's really easy. And who would you say is like, or what are the limitations or challenges, would you say? Or for is it for people also who are planning to inherit something in case something happens to them? Like, can you walk through? Because the setup is actually really easy. I mean, of course, you have to acquaint yourself with the basic tools of, hardware wallet, or, would it be a Trezor, Ledger? And maybe you can also talk about, are you planning to add more hardware wallets such as Scoba Vault or whatever, so do it like an air-gapped a confirmation or secure processes?
Sure. So I think the product that you're referring to is really like our nuclear product, which is the client-controlled vault. So a client-controlled vault is, I think, the best way to secure your Bitcoin for the long run, if you'd like to work with another company to help. And the reason I think it's the best way to do that is because it's in 2 out of 3 multi-signature. So multi-signature is a native address type to Bitcoin. It's part of the Bitcoin protocol, but up until recently, it's been extremely difficult for less technical users to learn about and actually use. The vaults are a really nice user interface to allow our clients to build their own multi-signature addresses by sharing data that is stored sharing public data that is protected by their hardware wallets. So if you're a hardware wallet user, if you have Trezors or Ledgers today, and you know, in the future, we're adding additional hardware wallets, as you mentioned. So up next is partially signed Bitcoin transaction support, which will allow Cold Card and any other hardware wallet that uses PSBT. But if you're using a Trezor and Ledger today, the workflow is pretty similar. You know, you plug in your device, you unlock it, you share a piece of public information with Unchained. We use two pieces of public information that you've shared with us, one piece of public key data that we have provided. We combine them and build an address that's under your total control. I mean, you have 2 out of 3 keys. You still unilaterally control your money. Why would you want to work with a company where a company holds one key? Well, to your point, a lot of us Bitcoiners are securing Bitcoin for the long run. And we might be a little bit more technical than some of our friends or family members. So there is some benefit, I think, in including a company or a team of security experts in your multi-signature address so that if something happens to you, your loved ones can come and say, you know, I have this Trezor here. I have some legal documentation. Please help me recover the funds, and then we can. Now, that's obviously not going to meet the needs of everyone. And at the same time, we would like to introduce multi-sig to everybody. So what we've released is a really, really nice tool called Caravan, which is basically our vaults, but open source. So the user interface isn't quite as nice as our vaults. It doesn't store as much information. It doesn't have as much business logic. But if you just want to learn how to use multi-sig with your hardware wallets, Caravan is an extremely simple tool to allow you to build both addresses and wallets. And what's really cool about Caravan is we've seen it unlocking some new use cases for multi-sig that weren't easily accessible before. One of my favorite use cases, and I've been kind of dragged into a few of these, is betting. So with Caravan, you can build a 2 out of 3 multi-sig address. You can have 3 individuals each holding one key, and then you can place a bet. So you can bet on, you know, whatever you'd like, and you deposit Bitcoin into the address. 2 people are in the bet. 1 person is sort of a neutral arbiter of the bet. And yeah, you don't ever even need to meet in person. You can just do it all online on Caravan. So I think it's a really cool tool, and it has unlocked some creative use cases that, as a team at Unchained, we've been really entertained by. So definitely check out Caravan. And if you'd like to secure your Bitcoin for the long run, the vaults, yeah, they're a great way to include a company in your quorum. The company, like, so as I mentioned earlier, Unchained, we've engineered ourselves out of the risk equation. So we can't lose your Bitcoin, right? You are holding full control of the 2 out of 3 keys. We provide all of the information you would need in case our website just is inaccessible for any reason. But we're there in the event that you need our help with the signature or if something happens.
Okay, so wonderful. So you got, let me see, you got this version of, it starts with a link, my.unchained-capital.com. That's like the sort of the smooth, slick, user interface that you can create your own vault, right? And just, you know, for my listeners to understand, so because you said, one of the first questions, you know, people are going to ask, like, okay, what if whatever theoretically Unchained just dissolves or, you know, goes bust, or what, like, does that like reflect in the unchained-capital.github.io/caravan-wallet? Can you differentiate a little bit or explain how does that work?
Sure. So one of the primary reasons we designed Caravan was as a recovery tool from vaults. So we weren't comfortable with sending our clients to Electrum to try to recover their money, because Electrum is an incredible piece of software. It does everything. But as a result of it doing everything, it's a little bit complicated to do multi-sig. So what we wanted was a really simple tool to allow people to recover from vaults and our loans if anything happens to Unchained. Now, the way to do that is pretty simple. So you build your vault. We have one file that you download. It's a file that contains all of the public key data that you've shared with us, as well as information about how the address itself is constructed.
And you'd have to download it like in the beginning just to make sure, like, is that something you have to download and secure, or can you download that at any point of time?
You can download it at any point of time. It is something that you want to keep relatively secure. We feel comfortable recommending that it's stored in an encrypted location. So maybe in a password manager or in a document behind a password or an encrypted hard drive, something like that. Mm-hmm. Because the file, it contains information about your addresses, right? You can, with the file, you can see your addresses. You can't spend from the addresses without 2 out of 3 private keys. So yeah, as you're setting up your vault, we provide a link to the complete external recovery workflow. But yeah, you download the file, you can go to Caravan, you hit import configuration file, you load that file up, there's your vault balance, and then you can spend from Caravan. Now, yeah, Caravan, you know, we view it from vaults as a recovery tool, so you shouldn't be, you know, spending your vault balances from Caravan all the time. But if our website's down, then all you need to do is go to caravanmultisig.com and you still have your money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You said something about encrypted, like encrypted file. What would you suggest, you know, for people who don't know what that is? What's the best, you know, method to encrypt that JSON file, right?
It's hard to give a specific recommendation just because every individual has kind of different, you know, living situations and maybe trusts their computer more or less. But if you are comfortable, you know, if you have a password manager that you pay for, you can upload a lot of times notes or files into a password manager. If it's a Word file or PDF file, you can encrypt it with a password. And some individuals are comfortable just keeping it on their computer as long as their computer's hard drive is encrypted. But it's hard to give specific advice. You just have to, we just say, like, as long as it's encrypted in some way, it's probably secure enough.
Okay. What's the maximum number of cosigners that you can distribute, or, you know, like different continents, different countries? What's the maximum?
Sure. So for vaults, we've decided on a 2 out of 3 address, and that's for a specific reason. So from my perspective, you gain a majority of the security benefits of multisig simply by moving to multisig. And the security benefits of moving to multisig is that now you no longer have single points of failure in your operational security. So if you just have a ledger, a single ledger or a single Trezor and your recovery seeds, that device and that recovery seed, those are single points of failure. If somebody gets a hold of them or if your device breaks, you can be stuck in a pretty bad situation. So what's nice about multisig, and this is really any quorum size, I would say, like you could do it 1 of 2, 2 of 3, 3 of 5, 3 of 7, is that your individual hardware wallets or your individual recovery seeds are no longer a point of failure. You always need multiple pieces of information, private key or 2 private keys or M private keys, as well as that sort of external spend information. So I think of that kind of file or external spend information as like the treasure map. You need to have your treasure map to be able to find where your treasure is. And then you need to have M keys to actually unlock the treasure chest. Mm-hmm. So in a 2 of 3 address, you need 2 private keys plus your map. And if you're using a vault, right, we coordinate the map for you. So you just log into your vault. But if you're using Caravan, you have to store that file. And then, yeah, you just need access to 2 of your private keys.
You know, I think, who is it, James Lupp or generally Casa recommends, because you talked about points of failures, are you a proponent? What's your position or Unchained Capital's position? Like, is it good to keep the private seed, the mnemonic phrase? Or is that an additional, or would you say because it's multi-sig, maybe just get rid of the seed and you have just have the key with the hardware world?
Well, it so we strongly recommend keeping your recovery seed whenever you're doing really anything with Bitcoin, for many reasons. And this is also kind of why we suggest starting with 2 of 3, because in a 2 of 3 address where you're holding hardware wallets and recovery seeds, you already have 4 objects that you need to protect. So increasing the number of objects that you need to protect isn't always going to increase security. Maybe it increases security a little bit, but it definitely increases complexity of your operational security. So the reason that we suggest securing recovery seeds is because if you don't secure recovery seeds, you are placing a lot of trust in your hardware wallet manufacturers. And what we've seen in the past is that nearly all hardware wallet manufacturers discover bugs, they release firmware updates, they release new functionality. Sometimes that functionality breaks compatibility. And if you don't have your recovery seed, you could be finding yourself in a situation where your device can't sign a transaction when you need it. With a recovery seed, if device A fails, you can take your recovery seed, load it onto device B, and you're on your way. So our perspective is that securing your recovery seed gives you a lot more future optionality. We can't predict how these devices are going to evolve or not evolve, right, in the future. But if you have your recovery seed, you can load it onto some other compatible signing device when you need it. As an example of this happening, and not to pick on them too much, but one of the last updates to Trezor broke compatibility pretty substantially across the board. So I think broke compatibility with BTC Pay Server, with Wasabi. If you don't have your recovery seed and you need to get access to your Bitcoin, that can be a huge problem for you. So we just say, 2 of 3 is that strikes that right balance where you're getting the primary security benefit of multi-sig, which is removing single points of failure. And storing recovery seeds means you're not trusting your hardware wallet manufacturers, you're not trusting us, you're pretty trust minimized.
Let me ask you before we talk about connecting the full node, because that's a really important topic. What is your position on like hardware wallets that you plug in into the as a USB? Because with the user is still interacting with a on the browser with your with Unchained, at least if it's not maybe a recovery process, but you it's still Unchained Capital's server, right? Would it improve, like would the security improve or opt be optimized if it were just air gapped by QR code? Or what's your position, like difference between
My yeah,
USB
my my
and
personal position is that the hardware wallets that we're seeing right now, it's we're still really early in their design and development, and I'm very excited about air-gapped signing devices. At Unchained, we released an open source signing tool called Hermit. So Hermit is already air-gapped. It's a command line based piece of software. I think of it as like the firmware that's running on a hardware wallet, but it allows for air-gapped signing. And I do a lot of client demos, and I'm meeting with a lot of Bitcoiners out there to teach them about multi-sig. And I live in sort of cable and dongle hell today, so I'm really excited for the future of hardware wallets where everything is just kind of air-gapped. And I know, the Kobo Vault team is working really hard on animated QR codes. The problems that you run into when you're air gapping something is that a lot of times Bitcoin transactions have to send a lot of data back and forth. So you can't fit all the data that you need necessarily in a single QR code. Some other approaches, the PSBT or cold card approach, right, is downloading a file, using an SD card, unplugging it, plugging it in, so on and so forth. I think that that's a really secure way to do it. I think the usability there is pretty challenging for people. So I actually really like the idea of air gap signing devices, as long as we can make it secure. But for now, I think there's pretty big usability trade-offs that we have to make. And if, you know, as a result of that, I think using devices that are a little bit more usable today, but just kind of a couple different manufacturers, is probably better than trying to go completely air gapped or completely PSBT with software, mm-hmm. or with a SD card.
Yeah, I had the chance
mixing it up.
Yeah, I had the chance to test the CompuVault by, you know, mm-hmm. and I liked it. I mean, I had to get used to it. But would you say that work? I mean, the difference between CompuVaults, you know, air is so called, I mean, it's called air gapped QR code, and the micro SD process. Do you think there's a difference? I mean, from a security perspective.
Ooh, no, I'm not familiar enough with how they're doing things to be able to comment on that.
Yeah, maybe we need to talk to Stepan Snigidev, because he's doing a lot of you know, work behind the scenes, also on the Spectre desktop, and, you know, doing a lot of experiments. So Phil, can we talk about, like, how to connect to a full node? Like, if you have a full node, is it possible to connect the vault to your full node, or is that only possible on Unchained Capital Caravan wallet?
So it's possible on Caravan to connect to your full node, and you can do that, you know, when you load up Caravan on your browser, in the lower right hand corner it says public or private. If you switch it to private and then enter your node information, then Caravan will grab all of your balances and coordinate all your addresses from there. Our vaults, we run our own node, and we coordinate addresses there. So since we provide clients with the ability to download all of their address and their vault information, what you can do is, if you have a full node, you know, save your external spending document, your little file, load it up into Caravan, connect it to your full node, you can check your balances there. But yeah, for our vault platform, we are verifying all of the incoming UTXOs with our full node.
Okay, so when it comes to privacy, of course, you'd have to accept that as a trade-off, right? I mean, right, if you don't have a full node, right?
Yeah, and realistically, if you are including a company, any company, in your multi-signature quorum, you are giving up anonymity, right? Because mm-hmm. as a company, we have provided you with public key data, and we can see all of the addresses as a result of that. And that's not unique to us. That's just how multi-sig works today. If you shared public key data to construct an address, you can see what's happening with that, with everything that, you know, that public key has been used for. So what I would say is, if you are looking to remain more anonymous with your multi-sig, Caravan is great for it. The trade-off there is, you don't have a team of security experts to be able to help you should anything go wrong. You're off on your own with Caravan. With our vaults, you are making that anonymity trade-off. We keep your financial information, of course, extremely private. We don't share that information with anyone. We use strong two-factor authentication for all of our logins. And that's really the critical data that, as a company, we have to protect, because since we're using multi-sig, the security of the Bitcoin is taken care of. So the information that we hold as a company is that client information. And so we have to take that extremely seriously and protect that. So yeah, that's the sort of the trade-off of working with any company that contributes a key to your multi-sig address, is that you have now given up anonymity to that company.
Right. Theoretically, I mean, it's I'm sure it's also stated in your privacy policy, but which financial authorities would have theoretically have access to, or could, you know, grant itself access to those data, or, you know?
Well, so we the information we collect is dependent on the product that you're using as well. So if you're just using a vault, we collect information, but that's because we're regulated as a financial services company in the US, so we do have to collect some information. We don't share that with anybody. That said, you know, if a government was cracking down on all Bitcoin companies, I mean, I don't think that there'd be really anything that we would be able to do. But what I will say is that since all of our clients have full control over their money, a government can't, you know, shut down Unchained Capital and take client funds. They could shut us down and see that, you know, maybe a client has some Bitcoin or at one point in time had Bitcoin, and then it's kind of up to you to make that plausible deniability. Oh, I lost it in a boating accident. Sorry. But yeah, so we, you know, we don't share that with anybody. Now, if you would like access to financial services, so if you'd like to buy Bitcoin OTC directly to your vault, or if you would like to take a loan off of your Bitcoin, a US dollar loan, then we do have to share some of the information, because we are, you know, lending you US dollars. So we have to share a little bit with banks and, you know, with our lenders. But we try to share the minimal amount possible and only when you are accessing, you know, a specific financial service. So I think, you know, to recap, for vaults, we don't share any data. You know, if a government was to crack down on us, I don't think we would have a way of not releasing that information, but your Bitcoin is totally safe as long as you have your keys and your external spend information.
Great.
If you don't want to make that trade-off, and you know, that is a trade-off for sure. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to make that trade-off, Caravan allows you to use multi-sig extremely easily on your own. So that when you're using Caravan, you connect to your full node, you can run it locally in a browser, you can set it up extremely privately, and there's no way for really anybody to know balances or know that you're even using multi-sig.
Yeah, I'm still in communication with, you know, with the team of Mynode, because I got a Mynode full node. And the thing is, several weeks ago, I already just tested it and set it up really easily, you know, Unchained Caravan wallet, and connected it to my full node. And after, you know, a couple of attempts, it, you know, it connected smoothly. But now I did it again and it just doesn't connect. And I think there is not, you know, it's not Unchained Capital's, you know, issue or anything. I think there's some bug maybe on behalf of my node or something, you know, the RPC maybe code that you have to copy and paste. So something is not working, but I was just wondering, you know, what if somebody has like issues, not, you know, can't connect to their full node? Is there like probably there's a bug?
Yeah, so Caravan doesn't need to connect to a full node. It can connect to a full node. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you know, if you just need really quick access to your money, it by default connects to blockstream.info. So their full node is available in public mode. The reason that we made this decision is because when you're setting up an Electrum wallet, you have no idea, unless you're running an Electrum personal server, you have no idea who is actually gathering your consensus for you. Could be chain analysis, it could be someone benevolent, who knows? But it's kind of a black box unless you have your own Electrum personal server, which you connect to your node. With Caravan, we're like, we're just gonna pick one company. We trust blockstream.info. You can trust them as well if you'd like, or your full node. So there's only two options, either trust Blockstream or full node. So yeah, in the event that, you know, you can't connect your full node to Caravan, switch it to public mode, you're able to broadcast transactions no problem. The trade-off there is that blockstream.info, you know, mm-hmm. can see some of the transactions and
right.
stuff.
I'm not a techie, but is it possible instead of the, you know, local IP address to use an Onion address to connect to your full node? Would that be possible, or?
I think, you know, I don't think today.
Onion address Caravan, and the port, you know, instead of the.
Yeah, I don't believe Caravan can connect to Tor today. Okay. Maybe somebody can try it out and let me know though. Also, I can, you know, check with our engineers to see if that's on the roadmap. But I believe it does have to just go, you know, via RPC and, yeah, connected
okay.
that way.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about your, I mean, is that something you can talk about, the demographics, like, or from which countries people are using it? Is that something you can talk about, or can you see that?
Well, so vaults are available internationally. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't work with some countries that are, you know, on lists or sanctioned or whatever.
Right.
But if you're not on a list, then we can work with you for vaults. Now, loans are available in just a few countries, and we look at each loan kind of individually and see if it makes sense. But yeah, if you'd like to just get set up on a client controlled vault, we can almost certainly work with your country. Caravan, we have no idea who's using it. Could be anybody. Mm-hmm. It's open source. You just go to caravanmultisig.com, start building your multisig wallets, and you know, you're on your way.
Yeah. Now I'm just wondering, because I thought, you know, might be, you know, it's a beautiful product and it's slick and sexy and smooth, and you know, once you educate yourself, you know, the basic fundamental stuff. And I just thought, how many people, you know, from the German speaking countries or whatever, European, EU countries are using it? That's something, but you know, you probably
are using which one?
The vault or vaults. You know, or both or whatever.
Yeah, we have clients from all over the world using vaults today.
Wow.
So yeah, it's really cool. I you know, I think being part of Bitcoin, this is kind of one of the magical reasons of Bitcoin, is that, you know, we have coworkers around the world, right? Like, hey, Vaughn, you're in Europe, I'm in the US, you know, we've never met in person, but we, you know, we've interacted on Twitter and I've been on your show a couple times. You know, Bitcoiners, we're everywhere. We're all over the world. You know, we're your neighbor, but you don't even know it. So what's exciting about my job is I get to connect with people from the entire world and work with them. And, you know, before Unchained, I was working a little bit with a team that was distributed. I think there was one person in Asia and one person in Europe. It's cool. You know, we're all working on this thing.
Is your website, right? Is your website like in different languages? I haven't checked, but, or is it just in English?
Today it's just in English, and it'll likely be in English for the foreseeable future. Caravan is open source, so if somebody who would like to translate Caravan wants to go in and, you know, update
right.
all the language, definitely, you know, feel free to do that. The vaults likely won't be translated into additional languages, and you know, for the foreseeable future, we're a pretty mm-hmm. small team still, and so we have to pick and choose what we work on extremely carefully. But we do really want to, you know, localize it in the future and support all of the different languages.
Because I thought it's a huge potential, because there is, I mean, that's a fact. There's a lot of German speaking people, for example, in Germans, Switzerland, Austria, who hardly speak or understand English. And I thought if we just, you know, show, it would be a huge potential, I think, for the, you know, average user, not the, you know, do it yourself people, but, you know, if we, maybe I'll do a video in German, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just show it, you know, to people. This is basic stuff. I mean, maybe they can't understand everything, but at least, you know, the features, the functions, the operation, everything. So,
yeah. And like I said, Kayvon, is if you have contacts that have time and want to devote, mm-hmm. you know, some energy in translating Caravan, like it's open source, so they could create their own copy, translate everything, publish it, and that could be the German version. I mean, I think some of the screens would probably still be in English, since you're connecting to you know, Trezor,
yeah.
if you're using a Trezor, and so on and so forth. But there's definitely a lot of opportunity there for translating.
All right. Very exciting, very exciting. So Phil, is there anything on the, like, what do you see, like, are there any potential for improvement, or is there anything on the roadmap you can talk about, like, you know, even more user-friendly, or is there anything you can talk about, like?
Sure, yeah, so we're very excited at Unchained to be able to offer the ability to buy Bitcoin directly into your cold storage multisig vault. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think we're the first company that has offered this, and right now it's just for a few states in the US, and it's for over-the-counter amounts, so a $50,000 minimum purchase, which is pretty large. But for people who are interested in going from like having no Bitcoin to having a substantial exposure to Bitcoin, our concierge team can get them set up with a vault, so ship hardware wallets, walk them through setting up the devices, teach them about multisig, build their vault. You know, we'll deposit some Bitcoin in there, and then we can get them activated for trading. But yeah, that's a big pilot that we're really excited about. We think that this is the the most secure approach, and it's the most decentralized approach. You know, chain analysis software, like, they can figure out exchanges and custodians really easily because client funds are commingled. You know, if you have a Coinbase account, we know that Coinbase holds 1 million Bitcoin roughly of client funds because all the funds are just kind of commingled. With this model, you know, each client, each product has a unique address. So it kind of decentralizes the Bitcoin economy a little bit more. So that's something that I'm really excited about. The other thing that I think is going to be really big for us is we're really improving the ability to share keys among different parties. So you can share keys today. So we have businesses, trusts, and families that are using vaults. In the future, we're going to make it a lot better. So we're calling it like our advanced business accounts. So as a Bitcoin company, you can, you know, the company can legally own the Bitcoin. You can assign people with different roles in regards to managing funds. So maybe you have somebody who has signing ability, somebody who has transaction authoring ability, so on and so forth. So we're really excited about our advanced business accounts. And the first release should be coming out for that relatively soon. Soon, trademark. With Bitcoin, yeah, 2 weeks. With Bitcoin engineering, it's always, you know, it comes when it comes. You can't release something buggy. So we have to just take as much time as we need in order to get it totally right. Yeah, so there's big things on the horizon for us here at Unchained Capital.
All right. Let me ask you still, what's your perception? Do you think more and more, I don't know, I don't want to call them boomers, but like older generations or even like institutional-wise, also family offices or pension funds, do you see that coming? Like onboarding them slowly and gradually or gradually?
Well, I'm a permabull, so I see everybody getting Bitcoin eventually. And I do see like the early signs of those use cases today. So I think what's really nice about collaborative custody, which is, you know, how we share keys in a multi-signature address, is that it makes a lot of sense for family offices that are used to, you know, custodying their own assets. And yeah, we're seeing interest, you know, from family offices, from companies. I think this next generation of Bitcoin is going to be much more distributed and decentralized. There's really no technical reason why Bitcoin needs to be centralized under the control of a third party for most products and services. And we're there right now trying to push that idea forward. Like, take control of your private keys. Don't, you know, make sure that your third party isn't a custody risk for you. It doesn't need to be. Bitcoin fixes that. Multisig fixes that.
There's a term called jurisdictional arbitrage. I mean, I don't know, I'm not even sure whether that fits into my question, but do you see that like as a huge benefit, a huge advantage, like people totally, like the keys totally distributed across all kinds of, you know, jurisdictions, countries, continents?
This is sort of the sovereign individual argument.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, free private cities, citadels, or, you know, total really self-sovereignty and being like having a feeling like now I'm untouchable, sort of, you know, so.
Yeah, well, Bitcoin gives us that ability, right? We can completely and unilaterally control our money, and there's no way for somebody to get access to that money unless we, you know, we give it to them. We're not, you know, as an individual holding private keys, if you divulge your private key data, then somebody has your Bitcoin. But other than that, there's not a way for it to be confiscated or stopped. So I think, you know, what's interesting about multisig is, yes, you can distribute your private key data into different jurisdictions, ones maybe that are more friendly to Bitcoin than others. Yeah, I think you probably do gain some security benefit from doing so and hedging your risks. You know, the other thing though is like, if you're fleeing one jurisdiction, I wouldn't say necessarily multisig is the best solution for you. What I might suggest is memorizing 12 words. Because then you're not carrying anything with you. You can walk anywhere in the world with your Bitcoin as long as you've memorized those 12 words.
Yeah, 12 is
So,
manageable. 24 is a little bit hard.
yeah.
But then you
So,
got to memorize it. Yeah.
right. There's tricks that you can do to be able to ensure that you always have full control of your wealth. And if you memorize 12 words, the risk there is if you slip and hit your head, then your money's gone, right? Or if you're captured or whatever, then but
Unless Elon Musk comes with a Neuralink and retrieves the keys, from your brain. So,
there you go. The other thing, so and now you don't even need to necessarily carry your Bitcoin across borders, because with Caravan, for example, you could call up your friend who lives in another country and collaborate to build a multi-sig address with them. So you would hold a key, they would hold a key, or maybe two people in a foreign country hold a key. In that case, your Bitcoin's, as soon as you move your Bitcoin into that address, it's already there. And then you can throw your key away and just walk across the border and your money's there. You have to trust a couple people, but that's an
It's
option too.
really evolutionary. I mean, I think most people haven't even grasped the essence of Bitcoin. I mean, what kind of freedom it gives us back. So, okay, before we
It's
wrap up,
amazing.
yeah, Phil, I want to know, I know it's totally detached from all the content, but where do you see like our society in 10 years? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing Bitcoin? What is the day-to-day lives of people? I mean, all these self-sovereignty and decentralization, but what is society going to look like in whenever, 10, 20, 30 years? I hope it's going to happen sooner than anticipated, but what do you see?
Well, I think that the world is going to be very different in two more halving eras, right? I think in 8 years, if Bitcoin is still alive, which I believe it will be alive and larger than ever, things are going to be a lot different. What I, from a societal standpoint, I imagine that things will actually, what's that?
Or technological even, I'm saying
Yeah,
like
I
all
think
this.
I love the idea of, I think Robert Breedlove has put this out there, where if your time isn't being skimmed, right, you have much more of your time and effort stored in a currency, and the possibilities of that are infinite, because now you have, instead of centralizing all of this time and power into the hands of a few, you have hundreds of millions, if not billions, of people who have unilateral control over their money and their time. So I think that what we'll see is we'll see an explosion in creativity. We'll see a reversal in a lot of trends that I think are just symptoms of having a bad money. So the centralization of power, the financialization of everything, I think that that's really a symptom of the Cantillon effect and bad money. If you have an entity that can print money and essentially steal time from people, entire industries are going to be built around that entity, because you want to nestle as closely as possible to the people with the ability to debase the currency. Without that, I think we'll see a return to much more creative, creative societies, more beautiful societies. Like, I look at, I got to, I had the opportunity to live in Europe for a few years, and I was living in the Netherlands in a city called Utrecht, and the city is absolutely gorgeous, and it just feels so livable and so nice. And I think that that's a symptom of sound money, where the cities just kind of grow organically and in a way that is suitable for human life. Like, I compare that with like Chicago, for example. And Chicago has some nice parts of it, and I don't want to knock on it too much, but Chicago's a gigantic grid designed for cars. It you go on the subway, you leave the subway, you're in another part of the city. It looks like any other part of the city. It's not very it's not a walkable city for the most part. So yeah, I see a return to more the like small towns or strong towns of the past. And then I see, from a technological perspective, like, we're going to see a massive explosion of creativity. If you clear out a lot of the bureaucratic overhead from most things that we deal with in life, I think we're going to find too that living is just so much cheaper, right? Everything around the world, or at least here in the US, like everything just constantly gets more and more expensive. Everyone's getting squeezed, at the margins. When we have a money that can't be debased, things are going to get cheaper. It'll
Got it.
be easier to live, not harder to live. And that's, the other implications of that are less violence. When people are rich and can live easily, they're not as angry. So I see immense positive benefits, and that's why I feel like it's almost a duty of mine to be working in Bitcoin today.
Yeah, sure. Totally share your vision. Do you know Jeff Booth? Like, have you listened to some of his interview, the Ready's Book or something? It was also
I
my
haven't read his
show.
book yet. I listened to a couple
God,
of his interviews,
you
though.
should. And his insights, the simplicity of his insights and the comprehension. And what's the title of his book is The Price of Tomorrow: Why Deflation is the Abundance to an to Future. Why deflation is the key to an abundant future, something like that. Yeah. So. And he says, the system or the central banks, and the governments, they are fighting against gravity. So it's inevitable. So it's coming, right? With a supersonic speed, I think. And this is what's really exciting now. And I think there are going to be, not only thousands, but hopefully millions of people like, entrepreneurs, Elon Musk, inventors, investors, all this interplay. I'm seeing already this interplay, but hopefully we can accelerate this process. This is my hope, but that's what I'm asking you. So,
Yeah, the it, and it's kind of funny. Like I follow some of the MMT folks on Twitter,
for fun, for
fortunately,
trolling.
unfortunately, yeah. But they I think Bitcoin at this point is pretty inevitable. It would have to, be some sort of catastrophic, unforeseen event like the Earth getting struck by a meteor to kill it. And so, what I find is funny about their perspective is they're staunch Bitcoiners, but they just don't understand it. Like by inflating or hyperinflating the currency, you're hastening the transition to a sound money because Bitcoin's there. It's competing every single day on the open market. Bitcoin is competing with the legacy system, and it's winning. If you measure any other investment or any other currency in Bitcoin, they all look like dog crap. Bitcoin is wiping the floor with them. You just need to start measuring things using Bitcoin as your denominator. So the MMTers, they have a lot of hand-wavy philosophy, but they're Bitcoiners. They're accelerationists. They're just going to destroy their currencies faster and transition us to Bitcoin. So it's like, I think there's going to be a there can be an easier way to transition or a more painful way to transition, and I think that they might be advocating for a more painful transition. But it's a transition, so you can take what you can get.
I
They're
feel
working to move people to Bitcoin too every day.
yeah,
They're
exactly.
Bitcoin marketers.
Phil, but let me ask you, I mean, is it really, there's so many like intelligent people who are, like so many times more intelligent and knowledgeable than me. Like, you probably maybe read the letter of by Robert Breedlove to Ray Dalio. There's all these gurus, there's Peter Schiff. I mean, I don't see a lack of intelligence, like, is it stupidity or is it a combination of stupidity, ignorance, or who's the paymaster and who's got a different skin in the game? What is it? What is it that is it just
They
dogmatization?
live in the fiat economy,
Is
and
it really? Yeah.
when you live when you can't when you're when your brain hasn't yet recognized that the fiat economy is gone, like it's over. Like you're still going to look at Bitcoin and gold and all of these other monies as some sort of investment in order to make more fiat. Like the real switch happens when you recognize that fiat is it's terminal. It's done. Like if you start measuring fiat in Bitcoin, like just look at it. It's never going to recover. Right? It's over, and the faster that you can come to that realization, the more that you can benefit. Now, Bitcoin has some drawbacks. It's volatile. But when you risk it, you get a greater reward, So don't, I'm not recommending people put all of their wealth into Bitcoin from the get-go, but at this point, I think it's extremely risky to not own any
To not,
Bitcoin.
yeah. Is there any other
Yeah.
choice? I'm asking.
What else are you going to buy? Gold? Look at the price of gold measured in Bitcoin. It looks exactly like the US dollar. It's done. Like, not money anymore. And the faster that you can come to that realization, the more that you will profit, the more that you will benefit. So, you know, the dollar cost average into Bitcoin strategy, I think, is really beautiful. I'm so glad that so many companies out there are starting to release DCAing as a strategy, because then it's just, you don't even think about it. You're gaining more sats. You're, without thinking about it, you don't even recognize that you've, you know, missed a little bit of money every week that you were going to buy beer with anyways or whatever. And that's, I think, the easiest way to transition.
Well, Phil, I really enjoy our enlightening talks every time. So are there any, like, again, can you repeat, like, the resources, the links, or anything?
Sure. Well, I'm at Phil_Geiger on Twitter. Feel free to follow me and ask me questions and reach out. DMs are open. Unchained Capital is unchained-capital.com. We are there for all of your Bitcoin financial services, where you get to hold private keys. So if you want to, you know, access some liquidity without giving up total control over your Bitcoin, we can help you with a loan. If you want to just secure your Bitcoin in multi-sig, which is the best practice for long-term security, set up a vault. There's no setup or storage fee for vaults. So they're essentially, no cost to get started. If you want to, you know, buy a significant amount of Bitcoin and you live in one of the states that we can work with, let me know and we can help you out with your direct to cold storage multi-sig with keys you control Bitcoin.
Fantastic. Well, Phil, thanks so much again for sharing your thoughts and insights and knowledge, and hope to talk soon again. All right.
Yeah, thanks so much for inviting me back on.
All right, take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right, that was a really amazing. How'd you like that? So Phil Geiger, feel free to, you know, contact him, DM him, follow him on Twitter, and make sure, take care of your Bitcoin custody, security, privacy. Multisig is always a good option because it just gives you, you know, the freedom. You can just relax comfortably, and with its, you know, 2 out of 3, 3 out of 5 keys or whatever. And it's easy, user-friendly, smooth. I'm sure it's going to even get better in the future. And there's tons of, you know, tutorials, instructional videos, and it's pretty self-explanatory. So yeah, make sure you subscribe, follow me on Twitter, YouTube, podcast platforms, leave me a positive review. Thank you so much again for your support and for listening, and total Bitcoin.